You're watching The War Room with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now on X.com.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. I'll tell you, I don't know if this interests you, but my day, basically, whenever I get in, usually I start, I'm never not working, right? I'm never not checking the news and compiling things and putting things in folders. But I will sit there from like noon until the show begins, and I'm just the whole time, I'm just copying links, downloading videos, just the whole time, 3 hours straight. And everything's off, like I've already bookmarked everything over the last 24 hours, and it's just a matter of going through, putting it in the document so the crew can print it, all that stuff. But it's like, if we had, 12 hours to go through all of this, maybe we could make a dent. But I've got a lot to cover today, so I'm going to try to get through Iran and the Supreme Court in this first hour. Second hour, we'll get into a lot of stuff with Royce White, but particular the, not just the firing, the releasing of Jaden Ivey from the Bulls because of his very moderate and reasonable stance about being forced to participate in LGBTQ Pride Month, but also that that's just in line with everything else that we see going on with people being punished for their just very baseline Christian beliefs. People like Karine Prejean-Buller, who was kicked off of the Religious Tolerance Committee in for the White House. So we'll get into all that stuff. Then the third hour, I will be joined by Tiffany Cianci. She has some inside information. We have an exclusive, as of right now, secret information about some upcoming pesticide bills in D.C. So stay tuned for that. We'll get into that in the third hour. But I could spend 12 hours just on, well, it's almost like we have to cover the updates of Iran in real time because things are changing so much, so rapidly, and with so little warning or seeming through line that combines it all. I literally have 40 videos of this. Just having to do just with the Middle East and Iran. So where do we begin? We can begin with just kind of the absurdity of every claim that Trump makes. There's an article yesterday that was like the 12 times Trump has declared victory. So yeah, we'll start with this. We'll start with the footage of striking Tel Aviv, as apparently last night was the biggest attack on Israel yet out of Iran. Which is interesting, because if we want to go to clip 38 here, this is what Trump said earlier today. Let's watch.
And when I read the fake New York Times, you take a look at it, it's like, oh, they're putting up a good fight. They're not putting up a fight. They're not even shooting at it.
Not even shooting at us, which is interesting, because clip 35 looks an awful lot like Iran shooting at somebody who looks an awful lot like us. And, this is just one of the many videos that went absolutely viral yesterday that seems to show that Iran can, in fact, continue to fire and are. And it appears as though Israel is taking the brunt of this as well. Again, we've just got that we're in this, like, laundry cycle revolution series where it's just Trump comes out, says something about Iran being willing to negotiate. And then about an hour later, you have Ron come out and going, that's just not true. I don't know who told him that, but we're not negotiating. And then just rinse and repeat. You just do that over and over. In the meantime, between declaring victory and declaring, Iran is, totally destroyed, Iran is bombing the hell out of Israel and American bases and their Gulf neighbors. And Trump is routinely claiming that it's only going to get bigger and crazier and we're about to hit them really hard. You just wait. So, again, kind of nothing to hang our hat on in any way whatsoever, in any way you're looking at it. Let's go to clip 27 here. So, again, we just heard from Trump that they've totally defeated Iran. They don't even have BB guns anymore. They're knocked out. Now it's just a matter of mopping up the mess. But that's not true. Let's go to clip 27.
An Iranian strike deep in the heart of Tel Aviv. For the fifth straight day, the skies above the city lit up as Israel's air defense system intercepted one Iranian missile after another.
So apparently the missile interceptors are still working fairly well, but those are going to run out not too distant future, and Iran doesn't seem to be slowing down whatsoever. Israel under largest Iranian assault in weeks as missile salvo hits center. Israel is facing the largest continual Iranian assault since hostilities escalated 3 weeks ago, Channel 14 reported, marking a sharp escalation in the U.S.-Israel-Iran conflict. Iran launched its largest missile salvo, sirens sounding across central Israel as the missiles were detected, with explosions heard in Tel Aviv and surrounding areas, including Jerusalem and the Shepherd area. One missile reportedly carried a cluster warhead, dispersing bomblets over a wide area. Damage was reported in homes and vehicles in Rosh Hayin and Petah Tikva, while a bomblet also struck a playground in Petah Tikva. So again, they are still getting hit. And it looks like the ground invasion is still very much on the table. You've got the Telegraph speculating, is Trump planning a ground invasion of Iran on Good Friday? The president has suggested he could walk away from Iran and leave other nations to police the Strait of Hormuz, threatening that America, quote, won't be there to help you anymore. Traditional allies of the U.S. told one day that he does not need them, another day taunted as cowards, and then told they should hurry up and go to the Strait, are wondering how best to respond or whether Trump is playing a different game altogether. Ever since the start of the conflict, Trump has been sending out a blizzard of conflicting messages. The war is won. It's not a war, but an excursion. Iran has 10 more days to stop the fighting and make a deal. Companies should show some guts. Other countries should show some guts. Iran should open up the straits, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. In other words, when he said that the war could last 4 to 6 weeks, he meant it, at least for the initial phase of reducing Iran's ability to repel a raid to retrieve its enriched uranium and take strategic islands in the Gulf. Now, it does appear as though the ground invasion is certainly on the table, certainly moving in that direction. In fact, there's a lot of evidence to suggest that it may be happening right now, for all we know. This could be very well be what the announcement tonight from Trump is about, or he could wait till Good Friday and wait till the markets close. That also tends to be his strategy. But let's go to clip 28 here, just to set the table, just to lay it out. The great Michael Savage. Oh, it's Passover. It's a Jewish holiday, so get ready for war. They do tend to like doing that sort of stuff. So Michael Savage has come out strongly against the war in Iran. I want to go to that for a minute. Apparently, it's his 84th birthday today, so happy birthday to Michael Savage. And he came out saying what everybody who's not an Israeli shill recognizes fully at this point. Let's go to clip 28. This is Michael Savage.
Bad one. We can be anything we want to be. So just try to be the good one and the wise one. And let us all pray for peace. Nobody wanted this war. Everybody wants this war to end as quickly as possible. Anyone with a conscience knows this war makes no sense. Nobody's buying the big lie. That's not to say Iran is a good nation. We know the mullahs are crazy and they live in the 7th century. But maybe war isn't the answer. I've heard the other side of it. We all saw The Godfather. Sorry, I have very bad allergies. We all saw The Godfather. When Fat Clemenza takes Michael down in the basement in that house in Brooklyn or Staten Island, wherever it was, and they're shooting the gun. And Fat Clemenza, as it was written, says, "We should have stopped Hitler at Munich." Remember that line? Puzo was a great writer, unless Coppola wrote it into the screenplay. I don't know, a great line. He says, "See, Mike, we should have stopped Hitler at Munich. Then we would have avoided World War II. So there is a thought in this land that we should stop the mullahs now before they grow too strong and they can't be stopped. I can understand that, but I don't buy it. A year ago, we were told their nuclear capacity was completely destroyed. And now they've been bombed for a couple of weeks. What's left for them to fight with? Well, they have missiles. They could put a nuclear tip on one of them, I suppose. They could get it from China or Russia. Do you think by bombing them, they're going to stop? We're liable to drag China and Russia into the war. Do you ever think about that? What is to prevent Russia from
Michael Savage saying just what a lot of people are recognizing right now. However, something has changed here. Something has broken a little bit. And just a quick rundown from Uncommon Sense at Uncommon Sense 76 on X. Lindsey Graham now says that we should make a deal. Remember, he had a deep and informed conversation with Mickey and Minnie Mouse, and they convinced him that Iran is not the right military target. We could go on about that, but something happened. Again, we don't know what sort of magical intervention his fairy godmother implemented, but Lindsey Graham now says make a deal. Trump says to make a deal. Mark Levin is saying the war could end in a few weeks. Netanyahu is saying Iran is, quote, no longer a threat to Israel. At least he says they're not an existential threat. Europe is flipping on Zionism, as is East Asia. Marco Rubio outlined changes strategic objectives to not include the opening of the strait or regime change. Trump discusses leaving Iran even without a deal. Bill Ackman says to buy stocks and that there will be peace. America is questioning their Jewish overlords, and Trump is less popular than ever, and no one wants boots on the ground. China and Russia are emboldened with sanctions removed. There's been a pivot, if I had to guess. The U.S. is staring down all of its options, and it doesn't like them. Either that or it's cover for a ground invasion with the 2,500 to 10,000 possible troops in the region. It's actually upwards of 50,000. Even so, what would that actually accomplish? If you want to physically take Iran, they would need 500,000 to 1 million troops. If you send 500,000 troops, you may get slaughtered. Public opinion would be even worse. While before I've only ever seen calls for escalation, everything now points to the U.S. trying to get out of a bad situation and trying to get out fast. And he's right. I mean, something has changed here. But that could just be the language being used has changed, and that everything is actually lining up to become the quagmire that we always expected. This is from Apollo Russo _ on X, and I thought this was a very interesting and informed breakdown. Isfahan Underground Tunnel Complex. So basically, the Spectator Index says the Pentagon is developing military options for a final blow in Iran that could include the use of ground forces and massive bombing campaign, according to an Axios report. So this was from March 26th. And then this is the analysis from Apollo. Isfahan Underground Tunnel Complex. The strike sequencing over the last month reads like a corridor preparation. First, the southern coastal defenses, the belt facing the Persian Gulf, was hit. Manab, Bandar Abbas, Khanarak. Then Iranian naval capabilities across the Gulf of Oman was gutted. Then missile infrastructure and mobile TELs were systematically reduced. Then internal security nodes across dozens of cities were hit, including Isfahan. This is the sequencing of an approach route being cleared layer by layer toward a terminal objective. And the obvious terminal objective is the Isfahan underground tunnel complex. 440-plus kilograms of uranium enriched to 60% stored inside, enough for roughly 11 nuclear weapons, weeks away from weapons-grade 90%. The tunnels have no ventilation shaft openings, no structural weak points for penetrating munitions. Someone has to physically go in those tunnels. Every other option has been tried and failed. It's been exhausted. So that makes sense to me. If this is all about the nuclear enrichment, then that would be the target we'd be going for, and obviously they are hardened against any form of weaponry we have from the air. We'd have to send men on the ground, and you could potentially do something like that, theoretically, feasibly, with a fairly small force, considering the fact that you're not actually trying to take over and occupy the whole nation, just a Maduro-style in-and-out operation, and it seems like they're preparing the corridor in preparation for that. And there's basically endless, you know, reports and people noticing that everything is moving that direction. All of the naval forces, all of the Marine forces, all of the Air Force, the specific planes like the A-10 Warthog, which is specifically designed and utilized for infantry support. It all points to a ground invasion being imminent. And I think that is fairly accurate. It gets a little complicated, though. We can go to clip number 34 here. This is Senator Chris Coons, who I believe is a Democrat, if I'm not mistaken. I should have liked so many other times in our history. Yeah, when the Republicans do something stupid, it turns out it gives a chance for the Democrats to win victories that they don't deserve. Let's go to clip 34 here. This is Chris Coons about what American Israel's intentions and all of this are.
That's a great question, to which there isn't a great answer. President Trump, several days into the war, made it clear that he had thought that Larijani, one of the senior elected leaders of the Iranian government, was someone with whom he or his administration might have negotiated, but the Israelis assassinated him. The Israelis have attacked over and over the senior leadership of the intelligence services, of the IRGC, of the Ayatollah and his close advisors, and that has made it difficult for us to assess exactly who's in charge. But we do know this. The Iranian Revolutionary Guard, the IRGC, has a pretty firm grip on the country and has been trained in how to continue aggressive operations even when there isn't a clear central command. So I don't, in the near term, see an easy path towards there being a real change in the government or the regime in Iran.
And we've sort of given up on that anyway. I mean, we're still saying it, but we know what the answer is. We know what they want to create. They want to create a situation in which Iran is a broken state that we routinely bomb every couple of months. Nobody in America wants that, but that's the way Israel has operated with its neighbors forever. And it's really how they want to operate around the world, more or less, when you really get right down to it. But let's go to clip 17 here. But hold on, sorry. That video we just saw was Chris Coons, the senator who has access to the classified briefings, saying absolutely, and not in a speculative way, that we were hoping to work with Larijani or whatever his name is, but that, you know, less hardliner, he was going to be the one who we were going to prop up once we assassinated all the leaders. And then Israel assassinated him. And he says they routinely assassinate anybody that we want to work with. So once again, Israel got us into this war. The pressures of Israel set up the conditions for this war. And now our exit ramps for this war are being systematically eliminated by Israel on purpose to keep us in the war. They're the ones we should be at war with. I mean, they are at war with us just through Iran, essentially. That's how this is working. So that's important to note with Senator Chris Coons coming out and saying that verbatim. Let's go to clip 17 here. This is a former U.S. Naval Intelligence officer talking about the immense troop buildup that hints that, yes, the ground troops in Iran are very much still on the table. Let's watch.
Even though the war looks like it's happening in a massive aerial campaign, we've noticed just over the last 2 weeks, about 2 weeks ago, a series of flights started to move from the United States, which started to spell out that there was a much bigger picture going on. We started seeing flights that were at the main bases of the 1st and 2nd Ranger Regiments, large numbers of aircraft, enough to move the entire battalion. Special Operations Command, Tampa, Florida's Special Operations Headquarters, SEAL Team 6's headquarters, and then an associated U.S. Air Force unit that is only used to take contingency flights to repair damaged runways. This massive armada moved quietly to an air base in Israel, over to air base in Israel, and an air base in Jordan. The numbers that they are having there are far bigger than anything you would need for Karg Island. I was in the Navy. I served off Karg Island, had naval battles with the Iranians in the 1980s, hit mines. Let me tell you, Karg and the southern Strait of Hormuz Islands are a task in themselves. The Marines could handle that. But that combined with the 82nd Airborne, we are looking at something much, much bigger than taking those islands.
So again, we also are just moving our third aircraft carrier to the region. All of these signs pointing towards an actual invasion of Iran on with ground forces. That's what the rumors are as well, as you just heard. They're moving in that direction. You also have this from the inside paper. Military officials are planning for two potential ground assaults in Iran, one on Karg Island, the hub of the country's energy industry, and the other to seize enriched uranium to hobble Iran's nuclear development program. According to three people familiar with the matter, all they need is the go-ahead from President Trump. So again, that all falls in line with everything else that we've been looking at today. However, this could quickly become a world war. U.S. aims to be unpredictable with putting boots on the ground. Like, yeah, I guess. Fine. Chechen fighters are ready to deploy to Iran. Chechen units loyal to Kadyrov said they're ready to deploy to Iran if U.S. ground invasion begins. Forces describe the conflict as a religious war and potential intervention as jihad against U.S.-led aggression. Iran raises alarms over Ukrainian involvement, warning of widening geopolitical dimensions of the ongoing war, with Chechen military units announcing their readiness to deploy to Iran to support the country's armed forces in the case of a U.S. ground invasion. So this would be sort of a separatist militia that would be getting involved, or it could go with the blessing, the official blessing of the Russian government. Regardless, it looks like, you know, the dominoes are being set up for full-fledged World War III. Now, I want to go to clip number 13 here. This is the reality about what the war in Iran has become at this point, as we have successfully hit all of the military installations that we know about, and yet we're still getting hit with missiles. So what do you hit next? Go to clip 13.
You know, one thing that really struck me today when I heard the chairman briefing, General Kane, was that, you know, the increase in what they call dynamic targeting, meaning that they have the ability to retask aircraft after they're after they've launched based on actionable intelligence. So what that informed me with is the fact that I think a lot of the principal targeting going after the weapon development industrial base, whether that's drones or ballistic missiles, and even the nuclear research and development centers, and certainly all the command and control, the major ones across the country, have been effectively either destroyed or degraded. So it sounds like, based on what we heard today, what I read and what was inferred is that absent of going after this national infrastructure that you just mentioned, the water, the electricity and the oil infrastructure, a lot of this significant targeting, minus what's buried very deep underground, has been eliminated.
So, yeah, that's basically us admitting that we've eliminated the military infrastructure we can reach, and so we're still getting hit. So now we're just resorting to exclusively bombing just basic critical infrastructure for Iran, which, of course, is a war crime many times over, strategically retarded. It's actually only going to backlash, since people that maybe didn't even like the Iranian government certainly are going to like you less when you blow up their children in a school. So we're not doing this. So like it's the same. You can ask the same question of like, well, why did Israel kill the person that we expected to take over? And if you're in the mindset of like, but don't they want this war to go our way? Aren't we trying to win this conflict for America? It's like, yeah, that decision doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense at all. If you have somebody that you're ready to prop up as the puppet leader, why would you kill them? Now, that doesn't make any sense. No, there must be some sort of alternative, ulterior motive at play here. And this is exactly the same. Why would you bomb critical infrastructure? If you know that they're only going to bomb your critical infrastructure, it's only going to get worse. You're only going to piss them off and, you know, more entrench the leadership. If they were actually trying to defeat Iran, they wouldn't even do this. They're doing it because the purpose is to create endless war. We'll get back into this on the other side. So a lot more to get into with Iran.
We have it all. Ultramethylene blue, we have the best. The Shilajit, we have the best. The turmeric, we have the best. We have the best spike protein, pro cardiovascular, ultimate life force. The best Irish sea moss gummies and capsules. Incredible. Research for yourself. We have the best at theultramethylene.com. And if you buy any of them, they're 50% off when you sign up for AutoShip. Cancel anytime. And you guarantee it never sells out. They hold it back. You get 50% off on future orders. And anybody that downloads for free the Android or the Apple app, you find both links to it at alexjonesapp.com. It's free. You get an additional 20% off at checkout on top of that. Now, I had to convince Bentley to do this. They were a little skeptical because they like to give you good deals, but not this good, because it's loss leader when you use the app. But because we have an 80%+ reorder rate on things like Ultramethylene Blue, it's actually working, because you get it, you love it, and you keep ordering. So these are great products. I want to induce you to try them. You know our information is hardcore. Try the products. It's just as hardcore. 1776 worldwide. We will crush the 1984 globalist system. God bless you all.